Some of you are without God and without true, genuine hope. Today's the day of salvation. God took on human flesh and bore the penalty for your sins. Cry out to him to save you, and he will. There's salvation in no other name under heaven.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, today we continue our look at the miracle of the incarnation of Christ. It's the reason that we can celebrate Christmas.
You know, Dave, the deeper meaning of Christmas is found here in the incarnation, the Son of God leaving the splendor of heaven to come to earth to take on human flesh so that he could die for our sins that we might be saved. A story so familiar to us that we might be tempted to allow it to become commonplace in our mind or even overlooked. So today we're going to consider the magnitude of the incarnation, what it cost the Son of God to bring forth the Father's love for us. Our passage is Matthew chapter 1, verses 8 to 25. So if you have a Bible handy, I'd invite you to turn there as we begin.
Be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain this entire series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
The child is conceived of the Holy Spirit, not of Joseph, of any man, and he is God. God the Son took on human flesh. God the Son. It is God who took on human flesh. And as we will see, it is God who saves. And as we will see, indeed, Jesus is the Savior of the world. And no matter what someone says, the denial of the virgin conception, thus birth, undermines the fact that Jesus is God. And if you are saved, I believe you will believe it, because Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." I believe you believe it. Now notice, not only does our passage point to the fact that Jesus is God, it also points to the fact that he is fully man. End of verse 21, "For that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit," 21, "and she will bear a son." She'll bear a son. Jesus was literally born of a woman. Galatians 4:4. "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman." That's amazing. When you think about that, God born from a woman. God the Son. Tremendous reality. Hebrews chapter 10. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. In the context of Hebrews here, saying that God never desired the shadows, but desires what the shadows point to. The Old Testament shadows of offerings were just shadows that pointed to the one who would die for our sins. Therefore, God wasn't pleased in the shadow alone. It was what the shadows pointed to. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. "Therefore, when he," that's speaking of Christ, "comes into the world, he says, 'Sacrifice and offering thou hast not desired, but a body thou hast prepared for me.'" This is a conversation between the Father and the Son about Christ taking on human flesh. "In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast taken no pleasure." You didn't take pleasure in the shadows. You took pleasure in what it points to. "Then he said, 'Behold, I have come in the roll of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God.'" And that will was to die for us. Look down at verse 10. "By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Tremendous reality. "And she will bear a son." Verse 21. "And you shall call his name Jesus." You see, Joseph was commanded to call the son from Mary's womb Jesus. And Mary was also. And what's the significance of the name Jesus? What's the significance? When you think of the name Jesus, what do you think of? This was God the Son's human name. It was given to him at birth. It points to God the Son who took on human flesh. But the name has more to it than that. Jesus is a translation of the word Yeshua, which means Yahweh or the Lord is salvation. Jesus means the Lord is salvation. That's his name. The Lord is salvation. Now, the term Yahweh means I am. It's the first person tense in the Hebrew of to be. It means I am. It's the same thing we see in Exodus 3 where Moses was speaking to the Lord and asking him, what should I tell the people his name is? And God answered, Yahweh Asher, Yahweh, I am who I am. It speaks of self-existence. It points to deity. It's speaking of God. Now, in our Old Testament, we have the term Yahweh, and that's translated usually Lord in large caps. And then the term Lord, L, in small letters, or D, is translated Adonai, meaning master. Now, you might be saying, what about the term Jehovah? Where does that come from? Well, the term Jehovah is just a mistransliteration of the term Yahweh, Y-H-W-H. And what they would do, the Jews would take the vowel points of Adonai and put it in there, and that's where they got the term Jehovah. But it doesn't matter what it is, it just speaks of the Lord, Yahweh. He's the great I am, the self-existent one. And then the name Jesus means Yahweh is salvation. The Lord is salvation. Let's read 21 again. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. You should call him the Lord is salvation. Tremendous. And notice we have the reason why. Don't miss this. For it is he who will save his people from their sins. Joseph, you're going to call your son the Lord of salvation because he's the Lord and the one who will save his people from their sins. That's what you're going to call him. And folks, God is gracious because he was unwilling to leave man in his or her sinful state. You see, God's word is clear that from God's point of view, not ours, there are none righteous, not even one, Romans 3. That all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And that the wages of sin is death. And the Lord makes it clear in Ezekiel 18:4, behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son are mine. The soul that sins will die. Mankind, you and I, have a problem. You have a problem, I have a problem. We have all fallen short of God's glory. We have all sinned. Yet God is a righteous judge who will judge sinners. He is holy and he must judge sin. God is just and holy and will after judgment cast sinners into the lake of fire, which is the second death, because the wages of sin is death. But not only is God a righteous judge, he's a gracious God who sent his son, conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of a woman, and this son will be called Jesus. Why? For it is he who will save his people from their sins. Speaks of the reason why God took on human flesh. The Lord is salvation. God coming in human flesh to die for our sins on the cross. And that's the means in which we are saved from our sins. And that's what Christmas is all about. You see, Jesus Christ came and he went to the cross and bore the penalty for our sins on the cross. He is the propitiation or the satisfaction for your sins. God is satisfied with what Jesus did in regards to sin. 1 John 2:2, and he himself, speaking of Jesus, is the propitiation or satisfaction for our sins, not only for ours, but for those of the whole world. You see, folks, scripture is clear that there is salvation in no one else. Turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus is the one who saves. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands before you in good health. He just healed someone. And he is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, which became the very cornerstone. And look at verse 12. And there is salvation in no one else. For there was no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Salvation is only through the Lord who is salvation. It's only through Jesus Christ. Baptism does not save you. Communion does not impart grace. Your works do not save you. Your church does not save you. The Jesus of the Mormons doesn't save you, for he's not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Jehovah's Witnesses doesn't save you, for he is an angel in their view. The Jesus of the Catholic Church doesn't save you, for he's still on the cross. His work isn't finished in their eyes. You must continue it through the sacraments and your own works. You see, brothers and sisters, friends, there are other gospels out there, other Jesuses out there, but only the Jesus of Scripture saves you. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 again. 2 Corinthians 11. It is the Lord who is salvation, God who took on human flesh. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2. Paul says, "For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband, that is Christ, that I might present you a pure virgin. But I'm afraid, lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your mind should be led astray," this is an amazing verse, "from the simplicity and purity of a devotion to Christ. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached," there are people preaching Jesus that's not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible is God the Son, who took on human flesh, who lived the perfect life, who died for our sins, and rose from the dead. That's the Jesus of Scripture. And it is He who will save His people from their sins. Have you believed in the Jesus of Scripture or another Jesus? Some people are told about a Jesus that's just there to fix them all up, and that's salvation. Oh, I'll raise my hand for that. Rather than the reality that we are sinners in need of a Savior, and Jesus came and bore our sins on His body on the cross and rose from the dead. For it is He who will save His people from their sins. It is only God the Son who came in human flesh, Jesus Christ, who saves. Have you been saved by Jesus? Have you been humbled to the point of recognizing your sin and calling upon Jesus to save you? Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Humble your heart today and call upon Him. So then we've seen Joseph's dilemma. He is betrothed to his wife Mary. She's pregnant. Joseph, being a righteous man, desires to put her away secretly. But an angel from God intervenes and commands him to take Mary as his wife. Because the child is of the Holy Spirit, he is God. And this child who is God will become flesh, and you shall name him Jesus, because he is the Lord who saves. He is the one who will save us from our sins. And then we have, in the end of this portion, an explanation. An explanation. It's prophecy fulfilled concerning God with us. Verse 22. Now all this, that's just what we just read, took place, that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophets. By the way, God spoke through His prophets. It's God's word through them. And this is God's word right here. Was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. Here we have the Lord's word spoken through the prophet Isaiah. That which is spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled. Folks, this is one of the many clear passages in Scripture that reveals that it is God speaking through men. It is not men speaking through men. It is God's word coming through men. 2 Peter 1:20, "But know this first of all. No prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." So what was this prophecy that's being fulfilled here, which is fulfilling this account of the virgin conception and birth of Christ? "Behold, a virgin shall be with child. She shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. And then turn to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 4. This is what this is quoted from. Now, I don't have time to get into the context here. You can read that chapter for yourself. Isaiah 7, verse 14. "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." She's going to be with child and bear a son. And it says here, she will call him Emmanuel. Here we have the reality. It's a virgin. That this child is not of any man. It is of the Holy Spirit, as we saw before. And prophecy was fulfilled over and over again concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ, after he rose from the dead, shares with those who were not willing to believe at that time, walking away from Jerusalem on the third day. He says, "O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And this scripture here in Isaiah was fulfilled, the conception and birth of Jesus Christ. And look at the end of verse 23. "And they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated means God with us. So how is this fulfilled in the account that we just read? How is this portion about God with us fulfilled? Earlier in Isaiah, the quote is, "She shall call his name," speaking of Mary. But here, the Spirit of God changes it to, "They shall call his name Emmanuel." And who is that? Mary and Joseph? We can't be sure, but the context appears to be speaking of the reality of those who would be saved from their sins. You see, we do know that non-believers will not call him Emmanuel, God with us, because they are separate from God. You see, Ephesians 2:12 says that they're separate from Christ and having no hope and without God in the world. Non-believers are not going to say because of this, "God with us." They're not going to say that. Certainly Mary would, Joseph would, but I believe it goes farther than that. You see, if you die in your sins, you're going to be separate from God. God is not with you. You'll be separated forever and ever in eternal punishment, the second death, punishment for your sins. But Christ came and he died for your sins. So how was this fulfilled? It's my view, it's not simply speaking of the incarnation where God dwelt among mankind for 33 years. That's true, he was among us, God with us. But here, I believe it's speaking of the result for those who would have their sins forgiven through Jesus Christ. "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall bring about" what? The forgiveness of sins, right? He'll save his people from their sins. Indeed, in the end of Matthew, we have the Lord Jesus sharing very clearly that "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." If you come to faith in Jesus Christ, he will never leave you nor forsake you. He's with you. Separation between God and man was broken because Jesus took on human flesh and died for our sins. "And they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. Is God with you? A lot of people think so. But the Bible says the wages of sin is death. That sin has caused a separation between you and God. Is God with you, or are you separate, having no hope, without God in the world? If you're still in your sins, you are separate from Christ. But the Lord is salvation. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God will be with you forever. The relationship will be restored because sin will have been forgiven. So notice as we finish back in Matthew, notice Joseph obeys God. Look at verse 24. "And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took her as his wife and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." Joseph, in the midst of a great trial, is betrothed to Mary. She's pregnant. He's righteous. He's a merciful man desiring to do the right thing, so he considers to divorce her quietly. He dozes off, and an angel of the Lord comes and tells him why he should take her as his wife and not to fear. And so when he wakes up, what does he do? Does he say, "I need to talk to a rabbi or a pastor to help me with this situation"? Does he say, "I need to call and get some counsel for what I should do"? He just obeys. "And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took her as his wife and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son and called his name Jesus." I'm amazed at the obedience of God's people in Scripture that had little bit of truth in Revelation. I'm so amazed. Folks, we have so much more truth, and yet we are more disobedient at times. I'm always grieved when people come to me for advice concerning issues of life, whatever it might be, yet they're unwilling to obey the clear commands of Scripture. Obey what you know is true. Trust the Lord and obey Him. Joseph wasn't like those who wouldn't obey. He didn't go out saying, what I really need is to understand this before I can do this. He just did what God told him to do, what God commanded him. We could learn a lot from the humility of Joseph being a righteous man. We could learn a lot. In a great trial, yet he wanted to do what was right. He was merciful. And when he was given clear revelation, he just obeyed. How about you? Do you obey the clear commands of Scripture, trusting the Lord, relying on Him to enable you to do so? Or are you stuck on the fuzzies, wanting explanations? Joseph obeyed. So then we've seen Joseph's dilemma. It's not my baby. Mary's found with child from the Holy Spirit. Joseph desired to put her away righteously, put her away secretly as a righteous man. But the Lord intervened to Joseph in a dream through the angel, pointing out the great truth that God is taking on human flesh in Mary's womb. So don't fear Mary, because he's taking on human flesh to save his people from their sins. And this points to the prophecy which would be fulfilled. Behold, the virgin shall be with child. She shall bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. That's the Christmas story. As we move towards this Christmas, and it's getting fast and it's coming on us quickly, we can get sidetracked. And we need to be ready to give an account for the hope that we have and pray that God might open doors to share the truth of this tremendous reality. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Tremendous reality. Well, can you say, based on the declaration of Scripture, God is with you? That the gulf between you and God caused by your sin has been taken away? Can you say that? We've seen today that only God can bring us into a relationship with himself through the forgiveness of sins that come through Jesus Christ. Some of you are without God and without true, genuine hope. Today's the day of salvation. God took on human flesh and bore the penalty for your sins. Cry out to him to save you, and he will. There's salvation in no other name under heaven. Cry out to Jesus. And some of us are saved, praise the Lord. But we have, on a practical basis, forgotten the reality of the result of what Christ did, God with us. We have a relationship with the living God. We can walk with him. Tremendous reality. God is taking on human flesh to save his people from their sins.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org.
Friend, before we close today's broadcast, I want to talk to you directly about your eternal destiny. If you were to die right now, do you know where you would spend eternity? If you're unsure, here are some important questions to answer. Do you believe that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness, that you've sinned against a holy God? Do you believe that you are unable to do anything about your sinful condition? Do you believe that Jesus is God, that he took on human flesh, that he came and lived the sinless life and went to the cross and died for your sins? He was buried and rose from the dead 3 days later. Do you believe that his work on the cross was sufficient to forgive you of your sins? Are you willing to acknowledge that until you repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus to save you, that you deserve hell and will be sent there? If you believe these things and want to receive Jesus' offer of eternal salvation, then you need to turn to him and ask him. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, I thank you so much for your word and your son Jesus.
And I pray for those listening today who do not know you, who still are in their sins, that they would turn from their sin and trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation, that they would be saved. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your Son, and it is in his name we pray.
If you've taken that eternally important step, we'd love to come alongside you in your new relationship with Christ. So would you take a moment and contact us? We'd like to send you our new believers packet. In that packet, you'll find a message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt, some helpful Bible study tools, and a Bible. It's our gift to you to help you in your new relationship with Christ. You can request your new believers packet online at etsradio.org, or if you prefer, call us toll free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And from all of us at Equipping the Saints, welcome to the family.